It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Got a lot to talk about today. And a lot going on this week, man. I'm telling you, we have got a lot of action going on this week. I cannot wait for it to get going. I don't know about you, Austin, but last night I watched the XRSS Super Late Model Series at Stewart last night, and I know you had a chance to watch it again today. Jonathan Davenport kind of put it on him last night, didn't he? Swept the night.
He did. He just had a typical Jonathan Davenport night. You know, went out there in sack quick time and put it on the front row of the feature and walked away with it without really any any pressure, really. I mean, he had one moment that, you know, we thought he might have been taken out of that race with that lap car incident in turn two. Right. But besides that, he was clean sailing to another good payday.
Right at the end of that race, though, the lap cars were racing side by side, and Tim McCready got within a car length or two of giving him a run there right at the end of the race, and it was only because of the lap traffic.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have that when you... With Stewart being as small as it is, and how slick the track got, and, you know, live traffic, it's, you know, we all know it gets really hard to pass, and
right,
especially when they're running, you know, two and three wide on a track that slick and that small and slow. So, yeah, that was his only shot at getting to him, and, you know, Davenport pretty much had the preferred line and control of the race, and if he just didn't make any mistakes like he did, you know, he was on his way to a win.
Were you a little surprised that there wasn't more damage done to his car when he hit the wall down there in turn one? That Dalton Wilson in the 18D car from Fayetteville, North Carolina, it looked like he laid down some fluid, and you pointed it out, and it was great that you did when we watched it here just a little bit ago. I watched it live last night, but you watched the replay of it just a few minutes ago. It looked like the 18D car was laying the fluid down. It didn't look like a car before him was laying the fluid down. And Jonathan Davenport got into that fluid, and he kind of ricocheted off of the wall as well. I thought that might have hurt his car a little bit. What'd you think?
It might have, you know, maybe knocked something out of alignment, maybe bent like a trailing rod or whatever they got, you know, up under the cars. But you know, I think what's kind of deceiving is the wall at Stewart isn't like a normal wall we normally see.
It's not very tall.
It's not very tall. The cushion kind of packs up to it. What we saw might have been a hard hit was actually just the right rear quarter panel kind of going up over the wall.
Right.
And making it look like he hit the wall really hard. You know, he definitely made contact with the right rear. Like I said, it might have maybe been a rod end or a radius rod or something up in the rear suspension. But no.
It didn't slow him down, though.
No, not at all. And it was just, you know, kind of deceiving to the eye that the wall was that short, which made it look like it was a harder hit. But I mean, to go in there, you know, wide open, expect fall in the lap car, and to watch him just, you know, lay down some fluid and you know, him and Davenport death slide to the wall is a very unnerving and uneasy feeling as a driver.
Marie says, happy taco day. Are you going to have a taco today, Austin? What did you just have for lunch? Can you say?
I had the wonderful McDonald's.
McDonald's? Holy cow.
It's tough because I got to be here at 10:30 every day. And
it's
breakfast.
It's so bright and early in the morning when you have to get here.
Well, it's not that early, but lunch usually starts at 10:30. So
yeah.
I'm getting the freshest food, but not at the most gourmet, nicest places in restaurant America.
Right, right. Last night... I think some of the drivers, I know T-Mac, he was kind of ticked off at the end of that race. Did you hear what he said? He said that a waste of 20 laps at the start of that race, it was a 50-lap race, right? I think it was. It's going to be 100 tonight, I believe, isn't it? 100 laps tonight?
I believe so.
Yeah. Anyway, long story short is that he said it was a waste of the first 20 laps of that race, that they came out and they put that water on it and they worked it over a little bit, and he wished they would have ran the support series prior to them running their feature. What do you think about that?
I think he has a point.
I do too.
You know, it kind of goes back, for an example of that is the Chili Bowl. We watched, you know, the 55-lap feature Chili Bowl run for about 20, 25 laps as a big hot lap session. And then, you know, we usually get a break around halfway with a caution, and then the racing gets pretty good after that. And he's spot on about what it did last night at Stewart. And, you know, I think if the track did get pretty slick towards the end of the race, yeah. And got down kind of around the bottom, and some cars were making the top work, but not a lot. So what they could have done was, like, you know, send the stock cars out, do a heavy track rework before the stock car feature, yep. Send them out, let them burn it in, and then have, you know, maybe, you know, 35 laps of good racing, and the last 15 might get, you know, kind of burn off. But
right.
At least the majority of the race was good racing and putting on good entertainment for the fans.
What do you think when people say that if they do that to the racetrack, it's going to make the track better at the end of the race? There's an argument there a little bit, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, let's not have a good race at the beginning of the race and then let it rubber up at the end of the race and then just all follow the leader around the track. Let's not try to do that. Let's try to make sure that we have a good, exciting finish at the end of the race.
Right. And it's tough as a driver because let's say you get buried in a heat race or your night just started off bad and you're buried deep in the field. You're starting, you know, 15th, 16th.
Right.
And the track is a hot lap session for 20 laps and you might have passed one or two cars. And now your stuff's burnt up and your car's kind of going away as the track's getting good and you're, let's say, 15 laps from the end of the race and the track gets good and your car finally maybe fired off.
Right.
And you're running 14th or 12th, you know, 13th. You're back where you started. And that's just the only complaint a driver might have. That's you don't get to get a fair shot at you know driving through the field. But you know, it's never good when you get to come out there and rework the track. You're never going to win in that situation, right?
Right.
You know, you're better off just you know starting the night, you know, maybe super heavy and letting it
work its way
in. But the moment you got to come out there and rework it, you're never going to win, in my opinion.
Well, I know me and you agree on a lot of things, but I'm going to kind of semi-disagree with
you. There's ways you can make a rework good,
right?
But majority of the time, it's already kind of a lost cause. But
do you remember out at Lakeside Speedway, I think it was the night that you had a fuel problem out there. Do you remember that night when the ASCS National Tour was out there? And do you remember how they worked a track over and then they had to roll the track in. The cars came out on the track, and they rolled it for about 10 minutes, mm-hmm. if you remember right. But that track was excellent. That was a fantastic race after they did that, if you remember.
No, it was.
Yeah.
And that's kind of back to my point. I mean, there's some times where
it works out.
It'll work out for you, and majority of the times it does. But, you know, there's still a handful of times where it's just, you know, it doesn't work out, and you're stuck with a, you know, it's semi-mediocre race.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the biggest story of the day would be, do I dare go into the Cup Series? Tyler Reddick is going to be leaving RCR in 2024 to go to 2311. It was just announced here just a little bit ago. But the unusual part of this announcement is that he's not going to be going over to 2311 until 2024. I find that a little weird, don't you, Austin?
It's odd.
Yeah.
But the more you think about it, I'm a fan of Dale Jr. Download, and they were talking with Justin Marks this week, and the big thing Justin had to say about, you know, teams and you know, future team owners in NASCAR and adding onto an existing team with more charters is this TV deal coming to NASCAR.
Right.
I want to look more into it, but from what I kind of basically know about it is there's a new TV deal coming to NASCAR.
The teams are going to get some of the money.
They're going to get some of the money.
Right.
And it's going to kind of, I think it's going to help out with the charter system. And maybe, you know, benefits the teams a little better from kind of what I can get a hold of it. It's the charter system. I really don't know how it works very well. It's kind of confusing. I'm going to look into it some more, but you know, it does kind of make sense because when I first read the article, I assumed it was for next year. Well, you say it's 2024 now.
Right.
It makes sense. So maybe they know an inside deal about where the TV deal is going to go.
Yeah.
Maybe it's going to benefit them, and now they want to start trying to prepare for 2024.
RCR is not happy. Did you see the comment
they put out? They're not happy at all.
We are proud of the success Tyler Reddick has found at Richard Childress Racing. We are focused on winning a championship in 2022 and 2023, although timing of this announcement could not be any worse. That means that they had some deals that were very close to signing up for Tyler Reddick to drive over at RCR. Isn't that what it sounds like to you?
Yeah. I mean, he just came off his first career win, week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he's had good speed all year long. So, you know, definitely I believe there was, you know, quite a few maybe deals coming through for, you know, next year and beyond. And there was just a lot of momentum behind the team. A lot of people talking about RCR and Reddick. And they had a lot of hope put on his shoulders and kind of hope that he was the next future of RCR. And now he's gone or will be gone in 2 years. And now they're kind of back to, you know, where they were without him and before him.
It doesn't happen very often that you get a driver with that kind of talent. And you can, you know, if I'm RCR, I feel like this is a guy I can build my team around, right? He's got the talent to be able to do it. Listen, let's face it. The grandsons aren't cutting the mustard, right?
Yeah, they're just there because of their name.
Right. But listen, not that the Dillon boys are all that bad. I think Austin's better than Ty, don't you think?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
You know, there's times where they strike lightning in a bottle and they're fast, like the Coke 600 a couple years ago, or they look into a pitch strategy in the 500.
Daytona 500.
Yeah, but besides those two, you know, big events, they're, you know, top 20 car, if that.
Yeah. Well, to me, it seems like that in this statement that RCR made, it feels to me that they were very close to signing somebody big to come on board with that car. Now, what do you think about going over to the 2311? The 45 car, you think that's about the time that Kurt Busch is going to retire? You think that's about the 2024, do you think that's the time when he's going to retire?
There's a good possibility.
Yeah.
You know, when I first read it, I assumed it was for next year, and I was kind of like, man, I don't see them getting rid of Bubba.
That's not going to happen.
No,
you know.
Not at all. Right. And the only person that's left is Kurt, but Kurt's, you know, won a race this year, and he's had a really good car all year long, and he's
still got it.
He still has it, and he's their only hope for a shot at a championship this year.
Yeah.
Bubba's not going to cut it. So to see them maybe drop him next year wouldn't make sense. But 2024, you know, we've already had some hints here in the past year and a half of Kurt maybe wanting to get out of the sport and retire. And I think, there's a good possibility 2024 or 2023 is their last year with Kurt Busch. And then he takes over the 45 car in 24.
Right. Tyler Reddick is currently 14th in the point standings. Not surprised by that. What do you think? Let's go down the road here just a little bit and just talk about it. We know Bubba Wallace is not going anywhere because of his affiliation with Michael Jordan, and you know everything that goes with that, what they're trying to accomplish right there. It was there anybody else out there that you think that might have been available? Gosh, I don't know what Ross Chastain's contract looks like.
I don't think Justin Marks wants to get rid of
Ross. That headache.
No, I think he wants to keep you know Ross Chastain as long as he can.
Do you think the sponsors are going to want to stay with him after the headaches that he's caused here the last few weeks? I mean, you know, last weekend what he did, you know, he knocking people out of the way. Do you think the sponsors are cool with that?
I think some are and some aren't.
Right.
But what happens when Ross Chastain puts the bumper to Denny Hamlin? The cameras go right to him.
Right.
The announcers talk about him. And Ross Chastain is the star of the show for that period of time.
Right.
What's Ross Chastain have? He has plenty of marketing partners and people that support him. And they're being highlighted. And they're having exposure. And their name is being brought up with Ross Chastain. And his name is you know, one of the most popular names right now in NASCAR. There's so much talk about him. So I think, you know, it's kind of like maybe Dale Earnhardt back in the day. You know, Dale was kind of that way where, you know, he had a lot of talk going about him.
Right.
And, you know, it brought in a lot of people that wanted to be a part of him because they wanted that exposure.
Right. Bubba Wallace is currently 24th in points. So
yeah, he has to win to make it in, and I'm not sure what if he has a shot to do that.
Kirk Busch is 16th in points.
Yeah.
So if it was me and I was 23-11, I'd let Kirk Busch race for us for my team as long as he wanted to.
Right.
I mean, listen, he's a past champion. He's got a wealth of knowledge.
Look what he's done for the team this year.
Right.
I mean, besides Bubba's rain-out win at Talladega last year, they weren't, you know, but you know, maybe a top 20 car every week, and now there's, you know, wins and top 10s and top 5s and up front runs where they deserve to be and where they want to be.
Right. Well, I don't know, and it's a lot to consume there. The odd part about the whole the announcement is that it's not till 2024.
Right.
That's the weirdest part of the whole deal to me. All right. USAC Mitchell's going to be down at Red Dirt tonight. You going to watch any of that, Austin?
Yeah, I'll try and catch it. That was quite a turnaround for the Midget teams to drive, you know, race Sunday and drive all the way down to Red Dirt tonight and race on a Tuesday night after having three nights at Husetts. But yeah, that should be a pretty good show. Red Dirt's one of the best Oklahoma tracks we have. You know, I feel like it puts on, you know, really good racing, whether it's the All-Stars 2 years ago or you know, USAC Midgets. I think it's and ASCS Sprinters too when they get to go down there. But yeah, I think that's, you know, one of the best tracks in Oklahoma, and it should be a really good show tonight. Should see who, you know, who can take home the prize. I think, you know, you can't count out, you know, the Oklahoma cars and Cannon McIntosh right now.
Hey, I guess one other big story in the Cup side of things. Flow Racing has signed up with Front Row Motorsports. They are going to be the sponsor of Michael McDowell. Flow's spending some money.
They are.
They're making plenty of money, though.
They're making a lot of money.
They're making lots of money.
You know, do we see... I don't know if this could ever work one day, but the NASCAR Cup Series races or trucks, Xfinity, you know, being on TV, but also being on Flow Racing, because Flow Racing already has the rights to their grassroots program,
right?
And a lot of their pavement racing. Do we see one day of, you know, NASCAR, you know, being on you know, your TV stations or channels, but also, you know, having a second source on Flow Racing,
right? David Neal says, how about Noah Gragson to RCR? What do you think about that?
That's a good possibility. You know, with his relationship with Bass Pro Shops, and you know, on
nice fit,
it'd be perfect, because that's what, when you think of RCR, who do you think of? Bass Pro Shops, right?
Right.
So yeah, I mean, that's,
they've been there forever.
They have been. So, I mean, there's a good possibility he could go there, unless, you know, Junior's talked about here recently of interests of getting into the Cup Series, and but it all falls back on the TV deal, on what TV deal can bring to the teams.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, listen, we are going to – Kirk Elliott was up at I don't know why they call it Stewart International Speedway. I don't get that. How can you call a quarter mile international? Austin, can you figure that one out for me?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I don't.
It's like West Memphis. Same thing. you know, international. I can't get my head around it. All right, well, so we're going to have Kirk Elliott on. He's going to check in. He's going to talk about last night's race up at Stewart. And I'm kind of curious to what he has to say. Man, there was 42 cars there last night, right? There was a lot of cars. That's a boatload of cars. Great competition. 20,000 to win last night. The XR Super Series late models. And they're going to race tonight. You can watch it on RaceXR.com. RaceXR.com. I watched it last night. I think their broadcast is pretty good, don't you, Austin?
Yeah, I think it's one of the top three broadcasts we have.
Yeah. And did you notice the in-car camera on that last night? That was kind of cool, wasn't it?
I think that's the first time I've seen an in-car camera on a live stream event ever.
Or for
a long time.
We tried it several times down at the Chili Bowl. And for whatever reason, Brian Hamdurks, our good friend over at the Cushion, he tried to get that to work for us, and we just never did get it to work. It was just difficult to do. But, you know, when you're inside a building that's full of steel, it makes it a little more difficult. So, anyway, all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Kirk Elliott is going to join us here on the show. He's going to check in from Stewart International Speedway up in Iowa. That's all next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Stewart Specialty Sportswear, in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum and our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. And joining us now on the show, my partner of 22 years. He's up at Stewart International Speedway. Kirk Elliott joins us on the show. Kirk, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. And it's Stewart Speedway to me. That's I'm with you on that, Scott.
How do they become International Speedway? How does that happen?
I don't know, Kirk? But for those who might know, this is one of my old racetracks.
Right.
I announced races at this racetrack for 7 years, from 77 through 83, and no one called it Stewart International Speedway back then.
Kirk, when you did the races back in those days, was it a late model track?
No, it was, they didn't really call them late models back then. It was more like a sportsman category.
Six cylinders.
Powered cars, but all, everybody built their own race cars back then. How
right.
much racing has changed since those days are pretty stark. But, back then, they didn't stage any big time late model events like we saw last night back in the day. This has to be the biggest event ever held at this racetrack, which has been around for a good long while.
Right. What year did that racetrack open up, Kirk? Do you remember?
I think back in the late 50s or early 60s, they made a movie at this racetrack, and you can watch it free on YouTube. It's called Fever Heat, and that's why they got the name Fever Heat 100 this weekend. That movie came out in May of 1968. Never will forget it. We went to the movie theater there in my hometown of Mattair to watch this movie. It's not going to win any Academy. It didn't win any Academy Awards.
Right.
But all race fans ought to watch that movie because it is pretty entertaining. If you love racing, you need to watch that movie. It's free up on YouTube.
Kirk, who are the actors in that movie? Do you remember?
A guy by the name of Nick Adams, and one of the actors is a guy who unfortunately passed away here a couple of weeks ago, Lonnie
Uh-oh.
Parsons, who everybody up around Knoxville knows. He played the role of one of the villain drivers in this movie.
Yeah.
So Jeannie Riley, I think, was another actress in this movie, and I can't remember all the actors in it, but
right.
It was kind of hokey, but it's worth watching if you're a race fan.
All right. Well, Kirk, before we jump into last night's race up there at Stewart, let's talk a little bit about Tyler Reddick. Didn't you find it a little bit odd that they made the announcement that he's going to join the team in 2024? Didn't you find that a little odd?
Yeah, the whole thing is shocking to me. Who saw this coming?
Not me.
Tyler Reddick just wins his first race for RC, Richard Childress, and seems like he's going to be there for a good long while, and not more than a week after that, and Childress wins the Xfinity race with Austin Hill over the weekend at Atlanta. Childress is on a high, and days later to have this announcement come out, and it's for 2024. How does that work, Scott? How does Tyler Reddick stay in the Richard Childress seat up until he takes over in 18 months for 2311? How does that work?
I don't know, Kirk. The question that Austin and I had was, is Kirk Busch going to retire before then?
I don't know. I was checking the information on it. Are they adding another team, or are they?
I don't think so.
Is he going to replace? I haven't gotten the answer to that question. Is Kurt Busch out of the seat another year?
I think Kurt Busch, what is he, 44, 45, something like that, or around that age? And I would think in 2 years that's got to be at the end of his rope, wouldn't you think?
I think so. I mean, there's been rumors out there that Kurt Busch probably isn't going to go more than a year or two. But I'm with you, Scott. I let Kurt Busch stay in that car as long as he wants.
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. All right, Kirk, let's talk a little bit about last night up there at Stewart. Jonathan Davenport, he just swept the night. He was fast qualifier, won his heat. He was in heat race number one. He led every lap of the feature. Jonathan Davenport is really on a roll recently, and he's picked up another $20,000 last night.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, he got off the night on a great start when he was the top qualifier. He came out in the first group of qualifiers, and he was like 12.8 seconds. And then the group B, it was Ryan Gustin who jumped up at the top of the charts. But Davenport set the tone early. The car was fast coming off the truck, and when he got out there and qualified as well as he did, that set him up to win the heat race and start on the pole of the A main. You know, when you saw that he was going to be on the pole,
you knew it was over.
It was going to be pretty hard to run him down.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But at the end of the race, and I don't want to take anything away from Ryan Gustin, because he started eighth and he worked his way up through the field. He ended up running third. The Marshalltown driver from up there in Iowa. But he probably wanted to do well at that racetrack because, he's in Iowa, right?
Absolutely. If you remember, in March of 2021, he got disqualified from an MLRA win up there because of a suspension that was deemed illegal. He was the winner of that race. They took it away from him. And that's a hometown, that's kind of a home track for Ryan Gustin. His dad, Rick Gustin, I saw him race there on a regular basis back when I was the announcer at that racetrack. So the Gustin family's got a lot of history at that racetrack, and that would have been a huge victory. And he's still got a chance to maybe do something tonight. How big would that be if Ryan Gustin were able to pull off the win $20,000 at really one of his home racetracks at Stewart tonight? That would be huge.
Yeah, I think the biggest earner last night when it comes to passing the most amount of cars would be Bobby Pierce. He started 22nd. Where'd he end up running? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, I'm not looking at it. He ended up in the top 10, did he not?
He ran eighth last night, started 22nd. And Terry Bruning, he was the same way. He started 21st, and he just followed Bobby Pierce right up through the field.
Yeah, I mean, Pierce, and I was kind of surprised he didn't go up at the top side. You know, we're used to seeing Bobby Pierce running up on the high side, banging the right rear off the wall and so forth. He didn't really do that all that much, especially in the heat race earlier in the night, and he didn't do it as much as I thought he would in the A main. It was Ryan Gustin that was able to use the high side better than anybody else. And one thing about Stewart Speedway, and this goes way back, this track has not changed at all, other than they put that barrier on the outside of turns 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, which didn't used to be there, by the way. But coming off turn 2 has always been a strong suit. If you rock it off the second turn off the high side, you've got an advantage at Stewart. And Ryan Gustin knows that, and he was really making that work last night.
Yeah. No doubt about that, Kirk. Right there, at one point during the race, I think it was the 18D car of Dalton Wilson from Fayetteville, North Carolina, he dropped some fluid down right in front of Jonathan Davenport, and Jonathan Davenport hit the wall pretty hard. I thought that might have taken him out of the race.
He did, too. I was talking to him after the race last night. And because I asked him, I said, was any nervous moments? I sent that clip to you guys. I'm not sure you play it or not, but he thought he was done. He hit the wall. He thought, oh, my God, that was it.
Right.
But he was able to soldier on. That was a big moment for Jonathan Davenport last night. He was able to overcome that. That was a pretty close call.
Yeah. Right there towards the end of the race, Jonathan got up into some lap traffic, Kirk, and Tim McCready kind of run him down there right at the end of the race, didn't he?
He did, and lap traffic was a little bit of a challenge last night. There was some yellow flags where Davenport didn't have to worry about it, but right there at the end of the race, it got closer than you thought it would. I thought Davenport still had all covered there, but McCready had a hard time holding off Gustin right there at the end. That was close. That was a pretty tight finish there for second right there at the end.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I was a little bit shocked that Jonathan Davenport wasn't more aggressive with that lap traffic. But, you know, he probably, you know, their guys tell him how big a lead they have, right? And I'm sure his guys told him that he had a really big lead because he was out there on him pretty far at that time.
Yeah.
And then when he got to that lap traffic and those guys were running side by side, that's when McCready kind of run him down. Did you think that Tim might have a chance to win that race right there at the end?
No, I really didn't. I thought that Davenport still had enough of a lead there that he was going to hang on. I asked Davenport, can you compare that racetrack to any other racetrack he was run on? He said, no, it's a unique racetrack. He likes it, but it is different. You know, you get the Iowa black dirt up there, but it is a unique racetrack. And I would have to agree, I've never seen a track like Stewart Speedway.
You know what I would compare it to, Kirk, if there was any track that comes up in recent memory, would be the quarter-mile racetrack at Belleville.
Yeah.
Maybe a
little. That's a better racetrack than we thought that it might be. You know, we're kind of partial to the big half mile at Belleville, but that quarter-mile racetrack that they've constructed there, it put on a pretty good show when these guys were there about a month ago.
Yeah. Austin, you want to jump in here and ask Kirk anything?
How much, I mean, you kind of talked about it, them putting the wall up, but how much has Stewart changed since you were there back in the 70s?
Say that one more time there, Austin.
Yeah, how much has Stewart changed since you were announcing there back in the 70s?
How much has the racetrack changed, Kirk, since you were there announcing?
Nothing. It looks like the same racetrack. The only thing that's different is that barrier on the outside of turns one and two. And let me tell you, folks, you don't want to go over that barrier in turn one, because if you do, you're going to go a long way down. There is a steep hill on the other side of that number one turn. And if you go over that, you're going to go a long ways over the top. And we saw a lot of cars back in the day go over that before they had that barrier around there. So that's the only thing that's changed is the barriers. What do they call those concrete barriers that they
K-rails
on the highway?
K-rails, yeah.
K-rails. And they didn't have those back then, either in 1 and 2 or 3 and 4. That's the only change. The racetrack looks the same as it did then.
Kirk, who was the top driver back in those days when you were announcing the races there?
There were two guys, and they were brothers, Glenn and Lynn Woodard. Those guys were out of Des Moines, and they came over there, and Glenn dominated more than Lynn, but they were both top runners. And another guy was named Dave Farron, who drove a sportsman class back when they were running late models at Oskaloosa. They only had two classes, late models and sportsmen. Dave Farron dominated the sportsman division at Oski back in those days, and he also ran well at the Stewart Speedway. And Ryan Gustin's dad, Rick Gustin, was a big runner back in those days.
Did sprint cars race back there in the day, Kurt?
No, every once in a while, I think they did bring a sprint car show in once in a while, but it wasn't very often that they did. But it was just a Sunday night weekly racetrack, one class, and a lot of those cars back then, of course, everybody made their own stuff back then. There were no fenders on the front of these cars.
Right.
It was like their V8 powered, you know, 57 Chevys, 56 Chevys.
With no fenders.
They didn't have fenders on the front of those cars back then.
Isn't that crazy?
So, it's a lot different now than it was back then.
Yeah, Kirk. Some of the drivers that we've talked about today are going to take the week off this week. Are you a little surprised by that, that some of the drivers that you've spoke to, I think Jonathan Davenport, Chris Madden, Mike Marler, they're not going to I-70 Speedway this week. Are you a little surprised by that?
Madden and Davenport told me they're not racing this weekend. They're getting ready for the Silver Dollar Nationals next weekend at I-80 Speedway. And both of them, Madden said they're leaving the car up in this part of the country, and he's flying back home for a week, taking the weekend off. So is Davenport. And so, yeah, that did kind of surprise me a little bit. I figured at least Davenport would be at the races at I-70, Tri-City, and Lucas Oil Speedway this weekend, but he's not going to be at either of those races. And Mike Marler is racing with the World of Outlaws up in North Dakota this weekend.
Right. Austin, you said that race out at I-70 pays $10,000 to win, right? Is that right?
Yeah, so Thursday night pays $10,000 to win. Friday night at Tri-City pays $12,000, and then
Lucas Oil Speedway
and Lucas on Saturday.
Is it $12,000 at Lucas too?
I believe it's $20,000.
$15,000 at Lucas.
It's $15,000 down there.
Yeah.
All right. I might just go.
And those
down
are like somewhere around $50,000 purses this weekend. They're paying $100,000 total purse each of these two nights here at Stewart Speedway. So I don't know. I think we're at the point now to where some of these guys, and Davenport is just kind of an outlaw now, and just goes, if you don't pay
big money,
$20,000, yeah, some of these guys are not going to go, I guess.
Unless
they're going for the points, because they're going for the points championship, which pays over $150,000 to win.
You know, what's funny about that is that that's what I would do. If I was a late model racer, I wouldn't run for points anywhere. I'd run where all the big money races are. Wouldn't you, Austin? Wouldn't that be the game plan if you had a late model to just go and cherry pick all the big money races?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to commit to any series. Once you commit to a series, you can't go compete against them. We see it with the Outlaws, and we see it with Lucas. And when XR came in this year with all the extra money, you saw teams like Davenport and Madden and Marler just bail and go race for money.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Kurt?
No, I agree with that. We're just in a different time. This XR series has changed the dynamic for a lot of these guys. You know, they had bigger pay and shows than what they had this week at Stewart Speedway earlier when they were at Bristol and Charlotte and Alltech Speedway. And they've changed the dynamic of this thing. They've put a lot of pressure on both the Lucas Oil Late Model Series and the World of Outlaws right now. But you still have some heavy hitters running for these points championships that still pay a pretty sizable amount of money. And a lot of these races on the Lucas Oil Late Model Series pays still a lot of money. And you take into consideration some of these big races coming up with the Silver Dollar Nationals at I-80 next week. World of Outlaws still has some big shows. I think they've got the Prairie Dirt Track Classic at Fairbury in a few weeks. But still, these touring series have got a lot of money, but you got three or four of these guys, some of the top racers, and you throw Brandon Overton in the mix, and Madden and Davenport. Those are probably the three most high-profile drivers are picking and choosing and being true outlaws and going where the big money races is and not even going to a race that pays $10,000 to win like an I-70. I hate it as a fan. I want to see all these guys at the racetrack. I don't want to see them sitting at home taking off for the weekend. If you're available to race, go race. But that's the fan in me talking. But if you're looking at it from a driver and a team owner standpoint, you can't blame them what they're doing.
Well, you know, they've been banging it pretty hard here lately. The late model guys have been. They've been running a lot of races. I don't blame them for wanting to take a little bit of a break.
Yeah, and they want to get all their stuff together for the Silver Dollar Nationals is a big race coming up. It's the last one. So, you know, that there a lot of guys are focused in on that right now.
Right, yeah. All right, Kirk. So tonight, at night number two up there at Stewart, what do you expect to see up there again tonight? First of all, did we talk about McCready being vocal at the – did I mention that?
You did mention that a little bit earlier in the show. That was something you don't normally hear Tim McCready speak out like that.
Oh.
But he was not very happy that he said they wasted the first 20 laps if they brought out support class to kind of get the track to where it worked a little bit better. The first 20 laps were a waste. But, you don't normally hear Tim McCready talk like that.
Right. He's not a big complainer typically.
No.
Yeah. But you got to understand why he feels that way, though. So.
But I was at the driver's meeting, and the track owner, Mike Van Genderen, told the guys, we're going to farm the track right before the A main, so get prepared for that. Yes, it might not be the greatest the first few laps, but it'll widen out. I don't want it to take rubber. And he explained that. So he told everybody what he was going to be doing. So get prepared. And so,
I think McCready had a good point though. Let the support class, let those street stocks that ran after the feature, let those guys go out there and blow off the track a little bit and get it back into racing conditions. Let's not waste the first 20 laps of the feature, right?
After what happened last night, they might do, and that's a 50 lap race again tonight, by the way. It's the exact same show as last night, $20,000 to win 15 laps.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Kirk. Well, who do you expect to win tonight? You think it's going to be JD again?
Boy, how can you pick against him after what he did last night? I asked him, I said, what do you learn from last night that you carry in tonight? He said, I'm staying the thing. I've touched this thing. Why would I? The only thing that would throw a curveball at him is if Van Genderen preps the track different than what he had last night and maybe brings out that support class and makes it a little more viable for some guys to run the top side and chase him down. I expect a tighter race tonight. I don't expect Jonathan Davenport to do exactly what he did last. If he wins tonight, I think it's going to be a lot tougher on him tonight. I think a lot of guys are going to see what happened last night. They're going to adjust the cars accordingly. I think we're going to see a lot closer finish tonight.
I'm going to put my money on Bobby Pierce tonight. He came from 22nd to 8th last night. Yep. If he gets a better starting position, starts up towards the front, I think he's going to give Jonathan Davenport a little bit of a challenge tonight. What do you think?
And don't you think he'll attack the high side a little bit earlier in the night?
Well, sure.
More so than he
did last night. Yeah.
He seemed a little bit tepid to try that high side. It's more expecting him to see. So, yeah, I would agree with you. I think Pierce is going to have a better night tonight than he had last night.
Yeah, I do too. All right, Kirk. Well, listen, we'll talk to you tomorrow, okay? We'll check in with you and talk about what happened tonight at Stewart International Speedway. It's not
international. It's just the Stewart Speedway.
All right, Kurt. Well, thanks for checking in with us. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, okay, bud?
All right.
All right.
See you later.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sports, we're in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. We want to remind everybody about the track tribute to Ascot Park that's going on right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's going to be going on through October 1st. They've got videos, driver uniforms, helmets, all kinds of memorabilia, plus plenty of cars that raced at Ascot Park up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum right now. Again, that's going to go on through October 1st. Get up there and check it out, folks. It is, I'm telling you, it's one of the great track tributes of all time. Ascot Park in Gardena, California was one of the great, great, legendary racetracks. So you need to get up there to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum to check it out. Also want to remind you about the raffle that they're going to have for the IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. They'll be drawing that during the Knoxville Nationals on Saturday, August 13th. It's only one of 1,000 Corvettes that have been made like this. It's a real race car, folks. This is not a toy. This is a real IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. It is one of the nicest Corvettes. I've said this many times on this show. I saw one for sale for $150,000. Barrett Jackson just sold one for $300,000. These cars are precious. If you want a real high-performance mid-engine race car, this 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette is the car for you, folks. So make sure that you get up there and buy a raffle ticket. If you can't do it, you can always do it online at Corvette C8RContest.com. That's Corvette C8RContest.com. And don't forget, they also have the raffle going on for the sprint car, the 2022 Triple X chassis. It's a 410 race car. It is a complete race-ready car, folks. And you need to buy a raffle ticket for it as well. I'm buying for both. I'm buying for the Corvette. I'm buying for the sprint car. It's a great opportunity. They're going to give away that car on Friday, December 16th. And if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it online at sprintcarraffle.com. That is sprintcarraffle.com. It's such a great place to go to. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is just a treasure. To the people that enjoy sprint car racing, there's nothing better than the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. All right, Austin, we got a lot of racing going on this weekend. You're going to be racing Friday night up at US 36 with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. We've got Thursday night with the late models out at I-70 Speedway. Are you going to go out there and watch the late models?
Trying to. We'll see.
It depends if you're ready or not.
I got to get maintenance done.
Yeah.
I got a late start to it this week. I took a day off.
Well, that's all right. Take a day off, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to, but
you got to relax your mind once in a while. You know, it's kind of like yesterday. I unloaded my mind.
Yes, right? You did.
I did. I hate to say it, but you know, that's really just how I felt yesterday. I didn't really mean to use so many cuss words. That's probably the regret I have the most. I cussed a little bit too much yesterday, didn't I, Austin? Did I not cuss too much? Or are you okay with that?
It's all right.
You're all right with that? You know, I said some things I probably shouldn't have said. Anyway. Frog Hall says on the chat room, he says, 10 grand will hardly pay the bills, traveling and maintaining equipment. I-70 needs to pick up the purse to draw the best. What's second on payback? I don't know what it pays back. Do you?
No, it was not stated in the press release.
It just says 12 grand to win, right?
10 grand to win Thursday.
10, 12, 12. Is that right? 10, 12, 12. Tri-City, 12. Lucas Oil's 15, I think it is. I'd like to go down to Lucas Oil Speedway. I might run down there and watch that race.
Yeah, it's 10, 12, 15,000.
Yeah. So, anyway, are you looking forward to racing up at US 36 this weekend?
Yeah. I missed my half miles already. We're going to go to the short track stuff this weekend, but no, we learned quite a bit these past probably month or so racing on big tracks. I think it'll just make us better when we come back home and hit the smaller stuff. But yeah, we'll see how we do. It's a track that's never liked me. I've tamed it once out of my three attempts, so we'll see how this weekend goes. We got quite a few marketing partners around the Kansas City area. That's within probably an hour from US 36, so it's cool to kind of be in everybody's backyard again. But we'll just kind of come back home and have a race that's 30 minutes away. I can save money on gas and have a good weekend and get ready for next Wednesday night at I-80.
Yeah, World of Outlaws are going to be at Attica tonight. You looking forward to watching that race? That's always pretty good action there.
Yeah, I believe Attica was the race last year where Spencer Baston kind of broke through for his first outlaw win or his second outlaw win. It was a really good race. And, yeah, this should kick off, one of the, biggest starts of the biggest, week in sprint car racing with the historical big one on Thursday night and then Saturday night for the Kings Royal. So driver could walk out of Eldora with $275,000 this weekend if he sweeps both those nights. But yeah, it'll be a big weekend in World of Outlaw Sprint Car Racing.
Yeah, so you can watch Attica tonight. You can watch the USAC Midgets on Flo at Red Dirt Racing tonight. You can watch the race up at Stewart Speedway. I'm not going to call it international anymore.
It doesn't need it.
That's a joke, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why would anybody call a quarter mile international speedway?
Iowans. That's all I'm going to say is Iowans.
What are you most intrigued to watch tonight, Austin, out of all those races? You can watch Attica?
I think Attica, with it being Brad Doty's race.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, that race is, I mean, it might not pay, you know, as good as the historical big one or
right.
the King's Royal, but I believe that's, you know, the second or the third biggest race we have this week in all of racing,
yeah.
Or all of sprint car racing. And yeah, like I said, it kicks off a great week of outlaw racing in the state of Ohio. So yeah, might as well just kind of get the watch party going for tonight and the rest of the week.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be watching the Fever Heat 100, and I'm also going to be watching Red Dirt, and I'll be watching Attica tonight. So I got it all covered here at the studio. So maybe you and your dad will come over one day and watch some races with me.
We'll see. Maybe.
That'd be good. That'd be good. All right. Well, folks, thanks for tuning in to the show. We appreciate it. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin O'Neill, we want to thank my partner, Kirk Elliott, for checking in from up at Stewart Speedway today. We'll do that again tomorrow. We'll check in with Kirk Elliott, and maybe he'll get us a driver or two to talk to before the week is up. I know Mike Marler said he'd come on anytime that we'd like to have him on. Mike's such a good guy. Kirk Elliott said that. He said, I went over and introduced myself to Mike Muller. I had my Racing Boy shirt on. He goes, oh, man, how you doing? And so Mike Muller, a fan of the Racing Boys. So we're happy about that. I always pull for Mike Muller for some reason. The 157, I'm always pulling for. All right. Again, thanks, folks, for tuning in. I want to thank Kirk Elliott for calling in and checking in from Stewart again. For Austin O'Neill, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.